Okay, praise the Lord. We're going to continue with this word on healing and how do we obtain from God. Amen. And the word is so full. I mean, Jesus did so much healing when he was here, when he walked among us. The people were so needy. And you know, come on, we're a needy people too. We have needs. Rita and I go to places where it seems that the needs are even greater than what we have here. I remember her first comment when we went to Ethiopia. She said, How is it possible that the people here are so...
How can a nation be, and a people be so far from God to be under this curse?
Yes. She's never seen more blindness, missing limbs, leprosy, people that have, you know, just legs missing. How can it be? And they're all over the streets. And it has to be a lot like it was in the days of Jesus when he walked the streets. Whatever physicians they had were pretty much helpless. They didn't know what to do for these people. They had doctors, and yet they couldn't cure people. So I don't know what... I was just reminded again today as we were praising the Lord. You know, we're coming to the time, brethren, we're in the time, not coming to the time. We are in the time when the last invitation is gone out for the feast. And the last, you know, the first invitation went to the quote-unquote deserving people. People that were invited to the feast. And they made excuses. They couldn't come. And he sent the servants out. He said, no, go out again. Find more people. And they brought them in. He says, no, there's still empty seats. Go out into the highways and byways and bring the maimed and the crippled and the lame and bring in the people that have been ruined by sin, you know, the prostitutes, the drug addicts, and people that have lived a rough life. Bring them in. Amen. Now, the point is they're going to have to be saved. But bring them into salvation, and bringing them into salvation brings them in to the feast. Amen? To the wedding feast of the Lamb. Hallelujah. So last week we were talking about the what it seemed to me the theme would have been the cry of desperation. Amen? And, you know, I have one more example. There's so many I could give, but I have one more that I want to give here in Luke, the 17th chapter. And by the way, Luke, the 17th chapter, if you're an end-time preaching person, the last part of that Luke 17 is equivalent to Matthew 24. It's end-time message that Jesus is giving. So the 17th chapter of Luke has to be some of the last things that Jesus is doing before his crucifixion. Amen? So it says here, I'm going to go to verse 11. Luke 17, verse 11, says, "And it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee." Now, you know what Samaria means, don't you? The Samaritans are not pure Jews. All right? They're a remnant of the 10 tribes that were taken captivity long ago, but they've mixed with the local Canaanites and what have you. And the Jews look down on these Samaritans, yeah. Impure, you know, and scorn them. Remember the Canaanite woman that came to Jesus, and Jesus said to her, you know, I don't take the meat for the children, give it to the dogs. So, I mean, he was testing her. Are you going to be offended at what I just said? And, you know, the woman's response was, no, but the dogs get the crumbs, and I want the crumbs. Amen? So she was not going to take offense at this. Amen? So here we come. Jesus is coming into Jerusalem, and he's coming through Samaria. So he's coming through that same place, and you know the example that we have here of these Samaritans? I mean, this is the highways and byways people. The Samaritans. You know, it was only a Samaritan in his parable that stopped to help that man that was wounded and beaten up by thugs and robbed. The Levite wouldn't help him. Amen. The priest wouldn't help him. The good deserving people, they didn't give the man any heed. They wouldn't help him. But the Samaritan helped him. Amen. So we're going to see some Samaritans here again today. All right. It says, he passed through Samaria, and as he entered into a certain village, they're not going to name the village, just a certain village. Amen. There met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. 10 men who were lepers and stood afar. Why do lepers stand afar off? People don't want them near. And the rule was, actually it goes way back to old Moses' law, you know, if a man is a leper, he has to be put out of the camp. He can't stay in the camp. It was considered a highly contagious disease. Now, do you know there are still places where they have leprosy in the world? And somebody was telling me, where did I hear it recently, that there is still a leper colony somewhere. I don't remember where. I can't remember where they said it was, but there's still a leper colony somewhere in the world. Some of the medical people went in there and they said, well, we don't consider it highly contagious. And I'm not sure what they called leprosy back in the days of Moses is the same thing that's called leprosy today. All right? But let's assume that it was a disgusting disease. It was contagious. And people, the lepers, as if they ever came anywhere near other people, they had to cry out, unclean. Unclean, unclean. And when you hear a man, unclean, you go the other way. Get away from him. You know, it'll jump over on you. And that was the thinking that people had. All right, so they stood afar off. Amen. I wonder what the interesting thing about the fact that there were 10 of them. Why is it recorded that there were 10? What's the number 10 mean? It's a fullness of order, isn't it? Amen. Ordinal perfection. By the way, we consider 10 also the fullness of order. Our whole number system is based on 10. The decimal system is based on 10. You know, we go 1.1, 1.2, 1.3, and when we get up to 9, it starts all over again. Starts back at 0, goes again. So 10 is a full system. You know, when you were a kid learning to count, you counted to 10. If you can count to 10, you can count to 20. You know, my mother made it very clear to me. We just put a 2 in front of them. Oh, Mom, how do I count to 30? Well, you just put a 3 in front of it. Oh, wow, I can get all the way up to 100. And when I got to 100, I said, oh, wow, Mom, I can go to 1,000. Of course, then I was asking, what goes after 1,000? You know, I remember these things. So, yes, it's the same thing. It's a perfection of order.
Right.
All right. So there was a full order of lepers that came. A full complement of lepers. It's like the whole leper colony came to him. Okay? It says, and they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Again, I'm just amazed at how the word of who he was went out. How did these unknown Samaritan people recognize Jesus, recognized the power that he had, and cry out to him without shame? In other words, there is no other hope for these lepers. Nobody is going to cure them. I mean, unless somehow it just automatically cures itself, which I guess it could do sometimes. But basically, these people are going to be living, if they had families, if they had wives, if they had children, whatever, they were cut off from them. And the only thing they can do now is go live with other lepers in some, probably didn't even have a decent house to live in. All right, so here's the poor lepers. Lifted up their voice, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And when he saw them, he said to them, "Go show yourselves unto the priests." All right, so again, the law was, if a leper is cured, he has to go to the priest. The priest has to certify that he's cured. And what is it? You had to sacrifice a turtle dove. These lepers, I'm sure they don't have much money. I could say they could have done a lamb, but in their case, probably a turtle dove. They had to make a sacrifice, and then when they went through all the ritual, they would be healed. All right. So he said, go to the priest. In other words, you know what you have to do. Go and do it. Go and present yourself as if you are healed before the priest. All right? It says, and it came to pass as they went, they were cleansed.
Right.
Isn't it interesting that the word cleansed is used of leprosy?
Right.
Now, that you could use the word healed, but in the case of leprosy, it says cleansed. As if it's something unclean. See, they have to cry out, unclean,
yeah.
Unclean. And the opposite of unclean is, of course, to be cleansed.
Right.
It says, as they went. As they went. Apparently, on the way to the priest, they got cleansed. All right? It says, and one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back with a loud voice, glorified God. How do you like this guy with a loud voice?
Awesome.
Isn't that great? I mean, when you go back and praise God with a loud voice, you're not just saying, "Oh, thank you, Jesus. Bless the Lord. Amen." No. No, I don't want to draw any attention to myself. No, I want to draw attention. Jesus, heal me. Come on. Some of you, remember, when you got delivered from sin, didn't it make a loud voice come up in you? I mean, you wanted to tell everybody. I mean, they couldn't stop you. So this one man out of 10, I don't know whether the man made it to the priest or not. You know, come on, he's come to the high priest. The high priest after the order of Melchizedek. What better can he do? He's come back to show himself. He came back with a loud voice. Number one, glorified God. And fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan.
And the high priest didn't care for that.
He was a Samaritan. He was, quote unquote, of the dog class. That's not my opinion. I'm just saying.
Right.
You know.
Right.
Yeah. He was of the low class. The rejected, untouchables. Do you know they have those castes in India?
Yeah.
They still do.
Wow.
Untouchables. I was reading the book about this man from India that was really an apostle in India. He was from one of the higher castes, but he went down and he ministered, you know, he began to minister to the lower caste people. His family rejected him because he would touch those unclean lower caste people. Oh, come on, brethren. Don't listen to the politicians that would have you to believe that there's a this class and that class and some other class. Come on. In Jesus Christ, there is neither Jew nor Greek. Male nor female, bond nor free. We don't have any classes, castes, or any such thing in the kingdom of God. Amen? You can't drag that stuff into the kingdom. It won't go. It will not fit. Amen? All right. Fell down, giving thanks. You know, come on. We Americans, and most of the world, we do not know the posture that these people would take in humbling themselves. Have you ever seen anybody go down on their face in giving thanks?
No.
We don't do it, do we? Do you know that when people met a king, down on the face? Come, you know, even the kings of Israel, man would come before, down on his face. Didn't, well, I was thinking, didn't Bathsheba do that during the rebellion of Adonijah when they brought her before David? And she was his wife. One of his wives. I think so. You know what? I ought to prove that. It was the custom. Yeah, I mean, the king is the king. You know, Esther, when she came before King Ahasuerus, yeah, however, Ash or something or other. All right. Listen to the pronouncer here. She's got it right. but no, let me find this of... it was a custom. People went down on their face and Esther could have been killed when she went in before the... when she went in before the king. But I want to find this. Yes, here it is. In 1 Kings chapter 1, verse 16, verse 15, and Bathsheba went in unto the king into the chamber, and the king was very old, and Abishag the Shunammite ministered unto the king. And Bathsheba bowed and did obeisance unto the king, and the king said, "What wouldest thou?"
Okay.
It was a custom. Mm. But we don't bow to anything anymore.
Sometimes we do.
Very rare, yes. Mm-hmm. We should, you know what? We should bow to God.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
You say, "Well, I do it in my heart." Okay, you know what? I do it in my heart. But you know what? I'll tell you what, when the Spirit of God smites me, really hits me hard, I'm down on my face. When there is a cry of desperation in you and everything within you wells up, screaming, you're down on your face.
Yes, amen.
And I've been on my face asking God forgiveness. I remember it was after Janet died. I'm down on my face begging forgiveness for rejecting His grace. I got mad at the Lord. Why do I need Your grace? If You hadn't messed with this, I wouldn't be, you know. I mean, it smote me just like that. Down on my face, I'm asking oh, God, forgive me. And I stayed there and I wept for nearly an hour. Because I realized that there was something in my heart that didn't belong in the kingdom of God. An attitude. Come on, brethren. We got to get the attitudes out. They're not going to go into the kingdom of God.
Amen.
All right. Jesus answering said, "Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9?
The judgment.
Unthankful. The 9, they got what they wanted. Forget about him. You know, I wonder sometimes why Jesus doesn't answer all the prayers. Well, that's all I want. See, the point is, he wants a relationship with you. He doesn't just want to give you a candy bar and have you run off and say, oh, hallelujah, I got what I wanted. Forget about him now. Oh, well, I have another need. Oh, I'll be back, but not till I have another need. See, that's the way people are. No, he wants you to stay. You know, the funny thing about God is he wants to be God. And it's not wrong of him wanting to be God and wanting our obeisance. He wants us to humble ourselves before him. He wants us to know our dependence on him and none other. And he gets jealous if we do otherwise. And that's okay. Jealousy is okay for God.
Yeah, not for us.
Amen?
Have you ever wondered when they crucified, before they crucified him, they said, who do you take, Barabbas or Jesus? How many people in there were healed?
You wonder, how many of those people screaming, give us Barabbas, had been healed by him?
There had to be a lot of them.
How many had been fed by the loaves and fishes? I mean, if there were 10,000 fed, some of those people ate his loaves and fishes.
Right. Yeah.
And many of them had been healed, and they were moved by the emotion of the crowd. And he said, there are not found that return to give glory to God save this stranger. Do you know the other nine men? They might have been Jewish fellows. Because they specifically identify the one that came back as a Samaritan.
That's true.
They were down there hobnobbing with the priest and having a good time and forgetting about Jesus.
Yeah.
Amen? And he said unto him, now listen, here's the key. And he said unto him, arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole.
Amen.
Do you know, brethren, you can lose your healing? Did you know that? You can get it by faith, and you can lose it by lack of faith.
Right.
You can.
It's interesting that he said that they were cleansed. Go, you are cleansed as they went. They were only cleansed. This man was made whole. Right?
This man was made whole. That's right.
Yep.
And you know what? This man is never going to have leprosy again.
Amen.
Because this man knows, and he came back, and he met the Son of God that did it for him.
Amen.
He met the living God.
Amen. That's right.
You know what? He's not a Samaritan anymore.
No, he's not.
He's a Kingdom of God man. Amen. Let's go to James, and we're not going to look at the situations anymore, but what the Word of God says about healing, okay? And I'm going to James chapter 4. I'm not going to read everything there is in James. James says that we should call for the elders to come and anoint with oil. But I'm going to read just one little verse here in James chapter 4. I'll take it in context. We'll read start at verse 1 in chapter 4 of James. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lusts that war in your members? He says, ye lust and have not. Ye kill and desire to have, and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet ye have not, because you ask not. So here's the principle. If you want from God, you have to ask. All right. First of all, it's obvious you have to ask. Jesus always asked the people, what do you want? And they would say, I want this. Okay. Now, he says here, he says, you ask and receive not. All right. So there's conditions where you ask and you don't get it. All right. One of the reasons, he says, because you ask amiss that you may consume it upon your lust. Lord, give me $1 million. Lord, I'm going to go buy a lottery ticket today. The lottery ticket is $1 million. Oh, give it to me, Lord. I want it. What do you want it for? Are you going to... Even if I told the Lord I was going to give it all to the kingdom of God, I'm not sure He'd give it to me. I'm not sure He could trust me with that answer. But He says, if you want to consume what you want on your own lusts, you may not get it. Mm-hmm. Okay, now let's go on. No, I think that's far enough there. That's far enough there in James. All right, let's go over to Matthew 21. Matthew 21, and I think it's in the realm it's about asking and believing. Okay, here it is. Yeah. It's the story of the fig tree. I'm going to read the whole story. Start in verse 18. Matthew 21. Now in the morning, as he returned unto the city, he hungered. And he saw a fig tree in the way. He came to it and found nothing thereon but leaves only. All right? Here he finds a fig tree. By the way, what are fig trees supposed to do? They're supposed to grow figs, aren't they? What are apple trees supposed to do? They're supposed to grow apples. Amen? What do pear trees do? They grow pears. Amen? Olive trees, they're supposed to grow olives. All right? So here's a tree that wants to put a lot of show on, lots of green, you know. It's big on green. Well, the environmentalists will say, well, at least that tree is green and it's making oxygen and all that, you know, and carbon dioxide and all that. No, the tree has another purpose other than just chlorophyll.
Right.
The purpose of the tree is to produce fruit.
Amen?
Amen? Now, isn't that what he expects of us?
Yes, it is.
That we are to produce fruit?
Amen?
Amen? And what happens if the master comes and finds that we're not producing fruit?
He curses us. Prunes us.
Yeah, he first prunes us. And the thing that gets pruned gets burned in the fire, doesn't it?
Yes.
Amen? So, here's a fig tree, and the master is hungry.
Right.
Imagine that. Jesus walked in the flesh, didn't he?
Yeah, he did.
And he was hungry. Now, Jesus isn't got a... Oh, how do we say this? He doesn't just walk around with a chip on his shoulder looking for an opportunity to curse things. You know? And neither does he have a temper problem.
Right.
No, he does not. He doesn't have a temper problem. He didn't curse that tree just because he had an emotional fit and got mad at the tree.
Right.
And you know, the disciples, they had different ambitions, didn't they? Oh, these people don't want to hear us. Call down fire! Consume them! Burn them up! You know? And he said to the disciples sometimes, he said, you don't know what spirit you are of. No. I didn't come to call down fire and burn people up. That's not what I came for. So, it says, and he said to the fig tree, he saw it, and he said to it. How many of you go around talking to your trees? Do you know something? I do.
I do too.
Yes, I do. No, I got a whole bunch of little trees from the state nursery, and I took them along the creek. They're little fir trees, little tiny ones, only about 4 inches tall. And I went down the edge of the bank of the creek with a shovel, and I dug a little hole and pushed them in, you know, with my foot. And I said, "There, now I want all you guys to grow." And you're going to prosper. Come on, I tell them I want them to prosper and grow when I plant trees.
That's right.
Amen.
Healthy.
And you know what? I've had pretty good success.
There you go.
So Jesus spoke to this tree.
Yeah.
Amen.
He can do it.
Come on, you know the trees of the field are going to clap their hands.
They are.
Amen.
Yes, they are.
Nature is going to rejoice over Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. He says, "Let no fruit grow on thee henceforth forever." Now, I don't know if he said anything else, but that's all the disciples remembered. In other words, tree, your purpose is to grow fruit, and if you're not going to grow fruit, that's it. He didn't tell the tree that the leaves are going to have to wither and die. Not in Matthew here. Now, maybe I forget what the other one said, but he just said, you're not growing fruit? No more fruit.
Right.
Forever. Basically, he cursed it.
Yeah, he did.
Amen? And presently, the fig tree withered away. Now, in the other passage, the disciples didn't notice this until they came back out of the city again that evening.
Yeah.
And when they came back, they said, "Ooh, this is that fig tree that you cursed. This morning, when we came through, you didn't find your figs, and you cursed that tree. Wow, look at that tree. It's all withered already.
Mm-hmm.
Withered and dead."
Yeah.
They noticed it, okay? And when the disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, "How soon the fig tree withered away."
Right.
You know, you can't do that in your own strength.
No, you can't.
You can't just wither a fig tree. Now, why did Jesus do that? And Jesus answered and said unto them. See, they didn't even ask a question. They just said, "Wow, look how that thing withered." And he answered. In other words, he replied and he said to them, "If you have faith." Now, here's the point I'm coming to, again, is the issue of faith. If you have faith, amen, and doubt not, ye shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree, all right, but ye shall say unto this mountain, "Be thou removed and be cast into the sea, and it shall be done. And all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive." Now, I brought the example last week, and in case you forgot it, again, I've got this sore throat. It isn't bad, it isn't life-threatening, but it bothers me, and I think I've got strep throat. And I say, "Lord, I'd like to be healed." But you know, the next thing I do is I call the doctor's number, and I set up an appointment. "Oh, we won't take you today, we'll take you tomorrow." And you know, I know that the antibiotic is going to kill it.
Yeah.
I just know it.
Right.
Now, I got to thinking to myself, well, I really had faith in that antibiotic, didn't I?
Yeah.
But if I had to be in a position where I had to put my faith in only Jesus Christ, I would have got it. That,
right.
And I remember times of the past that I knew that I was not going to get anything from any doctor or medicine.
Right. Amen. Yep.
And my cry went to the Lord.
Amen.
And I had to believe.
That's right.
By faith and not doubt. And it doesn't matter whether it took a whole year to happen, he's still going to do it.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise.
And you know something? There are things that we have asked God that are going to take more than a year.
Right.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Come on. You want to grow lettuce? You can get a crop of lettuce very quickly. You want to get an oak tree? It's going to take a while.
Right.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank.
What do you want? Do you want an oak tree or do you want a sprig of lettuce?
I want the lettuce.
You like to see quick grief. But in this world, we need oak trees too.
Yeah, but we need lettuce more.
Amen. Okay, so. You shall say to this mountain. Now, I've got to take you through my passage of understanding of the word. Okay, you're going to think that Brother Mark, you were the most stupid guy in understanding the word of God that I have ever met, and I'll admit I probably was. When I heard these things first, when I first began to hear these things concerning faith and moving mountains and this type of thing, I was strictly a physical understanding, natural thinking, carnal thinking man. Really. I mean, I read Revelation with carnal thinking. And I read this passage with carnal thinking. And I said, I would say to myself, before Jesus comes, there's going to be a man that's going to stand here and look at a mountain. I mean, a mountain, you know, a natural mountain. I'm looking at the Adirondack Mountains, you know. I'm looking at Mount Marcy up there in Newcomb. We can see Mount Marcy and Mount Haystack and some of those big mountains up there. I think, man, that's a long ways from the sea where we are here. But I'm thinking, before Jesus comes, a man is going to stand and he's going to point at that thing and say, be removed. The thing is going to rumble and shake and it's going to roll its way down to the sea. Mm-hmm. Amen. Now, you know, in the course of time, I came to another understanding. I came to understand that there are mountains in my life that are hindering me from doing the things of God. And there came an understanding that one day I'm going to be able to say to the hindrances in my soul, be thou removed.
Amen.
And cast into the sea.
That's right.
And it shall rumble, rumble, rumble. And it's going out of me. The mountain will not be there anymore.
Amen.
What are the mountains in me? They are the things that have hindered me and kept me back. If God says, I want you to take the gospel that I'm giving you to all nations, somebody prophesied that to me one time, and I thought it was the most ridiculous prophecy I'd ever heard. I didn't rebuke him, but I said, well, maybe I'll write something that'll go all over the world. But me go? Far-fetched idea. No, really. I had a hard time believing it. And you know what? I had to come to the place also, first of all, remove the mountains, but also come to a place where I began to actually believe that it was possible. And so therefore, and not doubt that it can be done. You know what? My faith is growing.
Amen. Yes. It will when you travel.
I'm only 70. I wonder how much more. Will he give me another, how many? 50. Yeah, will he give me another 50 more to 120? Think of all the faith I could acquire in that time. It's coming slow, but you know what? It's coming.
Yeah.
God has given the faith. It's a matter of me appropriating what he's given. All right, so that's Matthew. Let's go on to John. Can we go to John? John 16. Let's start in verse 20. He's talking about how he's going to leave. Okay? He's going to be crucified. He's going to die. He's going to be taken to heaven. And you're not going to see me anymore.
Yeah.
He's saying to the disciples. Verse 20, verily, verily, I say unto you that you shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice. You know, as I'm reading this the other day, it's the time we're coming to again. A time that we will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice.
Right.
Because persecution is coming
right.
to Christians.
Yep.
We're going to weep, we're going to lament, but the world is going to rejoice.
Right.
They're going to believe that they've won.
Uh-huh.
All right? Okay, let's go on. And ye shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy.
Hallelujah.
Do you know that?
Yep.
In other words, the devil's party isn't going to last very long. Adonijah's, that was the son of David that rebelled in his last days. The part about Bathsheba coming to David,
yep.
you know, informing him what was going on in the little town outside of Jerusalem. His party didn't last a full day even, because they anointed Solomon, put Solomon on his mule, the prophet Zadok, the priest, the general, you know, it was all over. His party didn't last. And the devil's party, you know, it's in Thessalonians that it says that it uses the parousia word of the devil, but his parousia is going to be destroyed by the brightness of Jesus' coming.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Yes,
so your sorrow will be turned to joy.
Right.
Amen. In these last times, your sorrow will be turned to joy.
Right.
Don't forget that. Amen. And he gives the example, a woman. Now here's something I can't understand by experience. Never will. Amen. A woman, when she is in travail, hath sorrow, because her hour is come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish for joy that a man is born into the world. Sisters that have had children, is that true?
It disappears momentarily after you.
It disappears. But isn't there a joy of this child that's been born into the world? The baby's put in, yeah, the baby comes into this world. Amen. Amen. All right. So he's saying this is how it's going to be by comparison.
Yeah.
All right. Now we're going to get faith in here too. He says, and ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. Now, in that day, are we not in that day? Are we not in that day? He says, in that day, you shall ask me nothing. Verily I say unto you, whatever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Now, you see, listen to this. You know, some of this religion, particularly Catholicism, that the saints and Mary and all this, they have to intercede for it. No, he said, no. You don't have to do that to get to the Father. You just ask me. I mean, the Creator God, ask me. And I'll give you whatever. If you ask me, it goes straight to the Father. Didn't he tell Philip, you've seen me, you've seen the Father. What else do you want to see? All right? Hitherto, okay, have ye asked nothing in my name, ask and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. Amen. So, we're asking in His name. What does it mean to ask in the name?
It comes from Jesus.
You know, the sons of Sceva, they thought they were saying it in His name, didn't they? In the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches.
Right.
We command you devils to go out. They got beat up. Well, they asked in His name, didn't they? No, they didn't. They were just making words with their mouth. Asking in His name, just wait, hold it. Asking His name is not just making words and saying His name. Do you know something? I bet you could teach a parrot to say that. In the name of Jesus.
Yep.
Name of Jesus.
Yep.
Name of Jesus. And the parrot wouldn't know a thing of what he was saying.
Right.
He said, well, the parrot is speaking in the name of Jesus. He said, he's a saved parrot. No, he's not. He's a parrot that learned how to make words. That's all. Parrot doesn't have a clue as to what he's saying. No. In the name of Jesus is in His nature. And the sons of Sceva didn't have the nature of Jesus in them. They didn't know Him. And this is why when the woman sneaked up and tried to touch the hem of His garment, wait, stop the parade, everybody stop. I'm going to meet that person that took virtue out of me. Woman, come on, face me. We're going to know each other.
Right.
You're going to look in my face. You're going to see my glory. You're going to see my authority. You're going to know who I am.
Right.
You're going to love me. You're going to desire and want to sit at my feet. You're going to want to rest in my presence, woman. And I think this is what it means to ask in His name. You can't come before Him with anger and hostility and impatience and all that in you. Come on, Lord, let's get with it. I want my prayer answered. No, you don't do that. You come and you're going to get to know me. You're going to love me. You're going to receive my love to you. Amen? All right. Let's just take a few examples. We got a little time here. Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. And we'll go to verse 7. Matthew 7, 7. Everybody got it? 7, 7. Ask, and it shall be given to you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. You know, come on, this is the most practical advice that you can get. Man doesn't have a job. I want a job. Oh God, I want a paycheck. Oh God. Please, 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 please. Come on.
Get a job.
That's not the way to get it.
No, it's not.
You got to get out and knock on some doors.
That's right.
Amen?
That's right.
You got to seek. You know, these words, there's an understanding of these words. It's not just, well, I ask once.
No,
that's not the meaning of that word.
No.
The meaning of that word is ask and keep on asking. In other words, these Greek words are somewhat different than English words in that some of these words mean a continuation of action. In our English, we say, ask. Okay, I ask. Give it to me, please. Thank you. No, that's not the way the Greek word says. The Greek word says, my petition continues to go before you until it happens. I may be wrong. Somebody will correct me. But that's the way. I looked it up one time, and they have these funny descriptions of these Greek words that I don't even remember, but I know that's what it means. And the same thing with knock. I want a job, I'm going to knock. You know, I fully believe, I'm at a place where I don't go looking for jobs anymore, but every time I have needed a job, I have asked God, do you know something? I have never collected one unemployment check ever in my life. And I've lost a lot of jobs. No, not a lot. But I've lost some. And you know what? And my job was a very difficult job to fulfill. You don't find a job of hospital or nursing home administrator everywhere. They're not everywhere. But you know what? God got me a job that I didn't even apply for because I needed it. And I told him, when my job came to an end in Amsterdam, the first time, I went back there later and got another one. They wanted to hire me back again. But I told the Lord, I said, Lord, I'm ready to go. Remember when they used to pump gas?
Yeah.
I said, Lord, I'm going to go pump gas if I don't get a job.
Yeah.
And I gave a date. I said, I need the job by that date, by Labor Day. I need a job. The man told me 6 months earlier that my job was going to come to an end. He said, 6 months, look around, I'll help you out and everything else. I said, Lord, Labor Day, I need a job, Labor Day weekend. Amen. Labor Day was coming. I didn't have my job. I get a phone call from North Creek. Lord, I didn't have North Creek in mind. Maybe Saratoga or Glens Falls or somewhere, maybe even Utica, Lord, but North Creek, whoever heard of North Creek? I went up there and before the interview was over, they offered me the job.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Guess what I told them? I said, well, give me the weekend to think it over. Come on, what am I going to think over?
Wow.
All right, I'll take it.
Wow.
I mean, it was Labor Day weekend that they interviewed me.
I wonder what the Lord thought.
You know what? He got me a job.
Yeah, give me children.
And I didn't even apply for it.
Right.
I hadn't applied for that job.
Right, he opened the door for you.
I applied for another job.
He's done that.
And one of the members of the board of directors was also on the board of that other place. And they made a deal in the back room that they were going to give this other job to another administrator. And because this was a more difficult place, and I was more experienced, they were going to give me the difficult place. I found out the place was almost ready to go bankrupt. And you know what? 7 years later, they had a bank account of something like $400,000 in the bank. I don't know what I did. I'm not a financial Wall Street wizard. What did I do? I just did righteousness.
Right.
And God blessed it.
Yes, He does. Yes, He does.
That's all I did.
Amen.
All right. So what I'm saying is, I know that if I knock, the door is going to be opened. And I know that no matter how difficult it is, God is able to do it. And if I don't get the answer tomorrow, I know that it's going to happen if I need it to happen.
Amen.
And if I'm not going to consume it on my lust, it isn't a selfish thing I'm asking for. I'm asking, you know what? If God needs $1 million in the kingdom, I believe with all my heart that I could get it.
Yeah.
I'm not going to ask because I don't need $1 million. Maybe all I need is a couple thousand at a time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a couple thousand. There was a time in my life I could never believe for a couple of thousand.
Yeah.
But God can do it.
Yeah.
You've got to believe it, brethren.
True.
If you seek, you will find. And don't just say, well, I didn't find it today, so therefore God doesn't want me to have... No. You press in. God says, no, I want you to keep looking.
Right.
And we're going to look for the answers. And if you don't understand something in the Word, you just keep pressing in. Keep knocking. Keep asking, God, what is the meaning of this? And this is what's called the pearl of great price. Because you're going to have to pay a price to get it. You're going to have to spend some time seeking, some time knocking, some time asking, and you're going to get to know the boss.
Yes, sir.
All right.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Oh, yes.
Hallelujah.
The boss. He wants you to get to know Him.
Yes.
Now, Hebrews chapter 11. We just got a little bit of time for Hebrews yet, don't we?
Mm-hmm.
Hebrews chapter 11. And before we get into Hebrews 11, let's go to the few verses in chapter 10 that come before chapter 11. Okay? Do you know that when this book was written, this book was not written with 10, 11, 12 written into the text.
Right.
It was just written.
Right.
And then the scholars came along later and they said, well, let's make this chapter 10 and let's make this start chapter 11 because this is a different stuff. No, men put these numbers in here.
Let's make it easy for us.
Yes. So it just flows.
Right.
And we're just going to get into the flow somewhere.
Right.
Okay? And let's start in verse 35 of chapter 10. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. What does that mean? Have you ever read that verse? Cast not away your confidence.
Yes.
Isn't that saying, don't give up on your faith?
Yes.
Isn't that what it's saying?
Yes.
Come on. You know, we've got kids that need to be saved.
Yes, we do.
Are you going to cast away your confidence about that?
No.
No, you're not. You've got grandchildren that are being exposed to the things of the world, and they're going to be tempted and tested.
Yep. Can't give up.
Are you going to give up?
No.
You know, I was reading a little sister from Prague wrote to us, and she says, oh, please send me some remembrances of Sister Janet. She remembered Sister Janet. So I began digging, and Gordon sent me this. It was an article that Janet had spoke in 1998.
What's the name?
Instructions for Spiritual Warfare.
Mm-hmm.
Where she was talking about the battle that she went through for Liza's salvation. And here Liza's a big girl, 20 years old. And you know what? We've backed off. We got through the crisis. And then we said, oh, I guess everything's all right now.
I remember.
No, we need to keep pressing in.
Yes.
And that's the message. Cast not away your confidence. Why? Which hath great recompense of reward.
Yes.
For ye have need of patience.
Right.
How many of you believe that applies to you?
Amen.
How many of you have need of patience?
Yes.
Did I hear any more yeses?
Yes.
Yes. Yes. This is God speaking to us. It says, you have need of patience. Yes, Lord, I have need of patience.
Mm-hmm.
I agree. Amen. Yes, I need it. You know what? I need grace too.
Yeah.
I need all the things that He says I need.
Amen.
You have need of patience that after you have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise.
Endurance.
In other words, the hint here is, you say, well, I've been a good boy. Now you give it to me now. And He's saying, but you have need of patience after you have done the good boy thing.
That's right.
You still have need of patience because you might not get it right away.
Right. Let's see how your patience are now.
You're going to have to endure a little bit, son, is what God is saying.
Yep.
Amen. You have need of patience that you might receive the promise for yet a little while. And he that will come and will not tarry. In other words, don't just think his promises are all held back and they're not going to happen and, well, I didn't see it happen. And, you know, even the coming of the Lord, it's going to come. He is coming in the flesh, brethren. You know, there's doctrines that say he's not coming in the flesh. No, I believe he's coming in the spirit, but I also believe he's coming in the flesh.
You better know.
There's two comings. He's coming suddenly to his temple, a spiritual temple. He's coming suddenly. And there's a lot of people going to miss it because they're not going to see it in the flesh. But that does not eliminate the fact that he's coming in the flesh. Come on. He was in the flesh after his resurrection. He had a glorified body flesh.
Right, yeah.
He ate fish.
Yes, Jesus.
Come on, you have no need of eating fish. You have no ability to eat fish if you don't have a body to eat it. And he told Thomas, here's my hand.
Put your finger
there where the nails went. Come on, feel the rough spot there. Put your hand over here where the guy put his sword in me. Come on, feel it, Thomas. It's real. It's flesh.
I'm real. I'm here.
Not blood, but flesh. The blood has been shed.
Yes.
All right. Now, the just shall live by faith.
Amen.
How many of you want to be just? How many of you believe you are of the just?
Yes, amen.
Sister, you will live by faith.
Amen. Amen.
That's God's word for you and me.
Yes, amen. Yes, thank you, Lord.
Sister, you will live by faith.
Yes, we will be the just.
Amen.
Because you are just.
Amen.
You have been justified by the just one.
That's right.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
But if any man, why does he put that word but in there?
That's a big word.
But it means that not everybody's going to agree with this.
That's right.
There's going to be stubborn men.
Mm-hmm.
Just men, not women. Yeah, stubborn women too. You know that.
Stubborn against Satan,
yes.
Jesus.
But if any man or woman draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. You don't want to get the soul of the Lord on the other side, do you?
No.
I want him on my side. Amen. You know how to get him on my side? I agree with him.
Right. Your will lined up with his will.
I take sides on his side.
Right.
There's no other side to be on.
Right. Amen.
That's the only way you're going to get him to agree with you.
Amen.
You're not going to get him to get on your side.
Amen.
I'd like to do this, Lord. Would you get on my side? You know, when Joshua met the angel, he says, this mighty, powerful angel of the Lord, I think it was Christ that he met. He said, whose side are you on? And you know what? I'll say Jesus. You know what Jesus said to him? No. No, the first thing he said, no, but as captain of the host, basically, but whose side are you on, Joshua? Joshua thought he was the general.
Yeah.
The captain. No, he said, I'm the captain of the host.
Amen.
You don't ask me whose side I'm on.
That's right.
Amen. But here's the other but. This but brings it back. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Amen. Now, this next verse, it belongs with it. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen.
Amen.
Now, come on. This is the way you get anything you need from God. You get healing from God this way. Faith is what? The substance. What is substance, by the way? The hard stuff. It's the real McCoy. Substance is what you... It's in your hand. Something you can put in your hand. Faith is...
Things not seen.
The substance of what?
Things
hoped for. Now, I can say, well, I'm just hoping for it. I don't have it yet. No, faith is the substance of what you hope for. And it's the evidence of things not seen. So as long as... When you get the answer to the thing, are you still having faith for it? No. You've got it.
Right.
It's no longer unseen.
Right.
It's no longer hoped for.
Right.
You've got it.
Amen.
So the definition of faith is that faith is what you have while you're in the process of acquiring it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Once you get it, you don't need the faith anymore.
Right.
In other words, I've already got this cup.
Right.
I don't have to have faith for it.
Right.
I don't have to have faith for the water that's in the cup.
Right.
Now, if I were to ask Rita to go and get me another cup of water, I would have faith that she's going to do it.
Right.
And I'm totally, absolutely, unequivocally convinced that she'll come walking out of that door with this thing full of water.
Right.
And I can almost taste it already. I mean, it's unseen, but I know that it's going to come.
Right.
Why? Because she's done it so many times. It's just her character, it's faithfulness. I know that if I ask her to go get me a drink, she'll go get a drink for me. Here in this building. Now, if I'm at home, she might say, go get your own drink. But here where I'm preaching the word, I know she'd go get it. Am I right, Rita? Yes, she says right. Amen. Now, I didn't even have to ask, am I right? See, that wouldn't even be faith. I just know it's right. Do you understand? Faith. Oh, there's so much more. We got another time yet, don't we? Next time?
Yeah.
We're going to get into Proverbs and some of the things that were said in the Word by David. David, I tell you, David, the man had to walk by faith. I mean, there were people trying to kill him. Saul made a career of trying to hunt this man and kill him. He had to know. I mean, Samuel anointed him with oil, anointed him to be king, and here he is running for his life for years. Running, 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 running. Did the man really believe that God had anointed him for another purpose other than just running for his life? Yes, he had to know that. Why did God not answer his prayer immediately? Because he wanted to build something solid in David. Something that could be relied on when other big troubles came. Do you know when you've been through some troubles and you've come through it and people tried to do you bad and God overturned the whole thing and turned the whole thing so that your enemy fled from you and you got the blessing? You know you don't ever forget that, do you? You know the next time any enemy comes against me, he can't prosper.
Yeah.
If I'm walking upright, if I'm walking in just before God, no weapon will be formed against me. And it shall not prosper.
Yeah.
Oh, they can form their weapons, all right. Yes, I'll see them making weapons, but they won't prosper. They won't prosper. They won't be able to kill me. They won't be able to get me fired. They won't be able to... I mean, they will not be able to... Whatever God doesn't want them to do, they won't be able to do it.
Try everything they can. Yes, I believe that.
If God wants me to go to the Philippines, amen, the devil will not be able to destroy that airplane that I'm on. No, he won't. Now, I'd like to have an angel stand before me every time the night before we get on an airplane and reassure me that, but you know what? He's not going to do that every time.
No, God's not.
And I remember the time very clearly. I'll just take this one little story here, and then we're going to quit. I remember very clearly the time that the Lord spoke to me in the night, just before we got on a plane. This was 15 years ago. Went to Europe. And He said, "Yea, I say unto thee, rise and smite the earth 3 times. And I forget what else He said, but I knew it applied to the word that we were going to bring in Europe. When I got home, I discovered that we had been to 3 different places in Europe. And we were smiting the earth
Amen.
With the word of God.
Yes. Amen.
Amen. But you know, it gave me such faith. I said, there is nothing that can harm or hinder our going to where God is sending us to go. Now, I'm telling you, brethren, as we come into these last days, and you're going to see tribulation that you have never seen before. You're going to see the enemy rise and try to destroy the Word of God in you. You, your life, your circumstances, you're going to have to know this faith that I'm talking about. It's not just for your healing, but you're going to have to know it for every aspect of your life. You've got to know your God. And this is why He has made you walk in the patience that you've had to learn. You did not like to learn patience. Am I right? I didn't like to learn it. You know, when God said to me, you know, that will you give me a little more time to work this out? I remember thinking, all right, I'll give Him 6 more months. You know what? He took 6 more years. What did I have to do? I had to learn that He was not just a God of snap the finger and make it happen instantly, but He was the God who was going to walk through the circumstance. I was going to see this happen. I'm going to see that happen. I'm going to see something else happen. I'm going to have to fight. I'm going to have to endure. I'm going to have faith. But in the end, it's going to come out.
Amen.
And that's what He made me to learn. I wanted snap the finger God. I wanted the miracle. You know, there's 2 different kinds of healing. There's healing and there's miraculous healing.
Yeah.
You've got to believe. If God puts the power of healing in you, it's going to start working.
Mm-hmm.
It may take a little time, but it's going to work. He might use the chemicals of your body to destroy the disease.
Mm-hmm.
He might begin to remake your hormone system and your immune system. That's the word I'm looking for. He might start to recreate your immune system.
Right.
And by the way, you know, immune system can function against arthritis. Did you know that? It can drive out the cause of arthritis and pain. Now, I like Him to do it quick, snap the finger, instantly. I'd like that. But you know what? I don't always get that. I rarely get that.
He's using your faith.
But every other thing that I have sought the Lord, knock, seek, and knock, what is it? Seek?
Knock.
Ask, seek, and knock. When I've been through the asking, seeking, and knocking, He has been there. And He'll give me the answer that I need. He isn't always going to say yes to everything I want.
Right, you do get no.
Amen. Well, God bless you. Hallelujah.